Proverbs chapter 8 this evening. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8. Would you have Proverbs chapter 8? If you'd be so kind and respectful with me for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8. Look, beginning with me in verse 22. Bible says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Well, as I yet had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the fountains of the earth. Then I was by him. As brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Heavenly Father, thank you for our time that we are able to gather on Sunday evening, Lord God. Father, open your precious, inerrant, errorless word. Lord God, as we look to it for words of wisdom, and Father, as we speak of, Lord God, something that, Lord God, is money cannot buy, and the value, Lord God, cannot be measured. Father, we just pray tonight that you would, as we open our hearts to you, bless them, teach them, nurture them, challenge them. Lord God Almighty, may you receive glory from us as you work in those hearts within us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you ever play a guessing game concerning what those wise words spoke, I might begin by saying, "Who am I?" And then read the passage of Scripture in which I've just read. If I were seeking understanding, I might ask what the principal necessity of gaining that understanding would be, and then refer to the words written in Proverbs 4, verses 5 and 7. If I were to ask an asset that is absolutely no monetary price upon it, but possessing it is something that money in all of its wealth cannot buy, what is its name? What is the name? For it is better than rubies. As the Bible says, that there is nothing that can ever be desired that can compare to it. What is it? What is its name? Who am I that holds those values of immeasurable or unmeasurable traits? To which the answer would be wisdom. Wisdom, for it buildeth a house, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of obtaining it. It resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools, it is made known. Wisdom. We dismiss its value. We decline its knowledge. We decrease our desire to obtain it. Yet we cannot be wise without it. Wisdom. Wisdom. In 2004, a painting by Anne Mary Robinson, better known as Grandma Moses, was brought to the Antiques Roadshow for an appraisal. Born before the Civil War, Robertson did not take up painting until later in her life. Her primitive style eventually became extremely popular, and her work commanded a very high price. The man who brought the painting to be evaluated had lived nearby, and his mother was a friend of Grandma Moses. He said she was just a wonderful friend of the family. She would let my mother buy these paintings, which she thought had relatively little value. I guess my mother did too. She probably bought 8, maybe even 10 paintings in all. And my guess would be perhaps for maybe as little as $10 each. The painting that was bought for around $10 was appraised as being worth of over $60,000 for just the one Mastery of Art. In her early days of painting, Grandma Moses did not think of her works as being very valuable, so she parted with them for next to nothing. How often do we give up that which is priceless for a little, maybe even temporary pleasure of advantage? How often do we abandon that which matters most simply to obtain that which matters least? The best way to determine what matters the most to someone is not to hear what they say, but rather to see what they do. The things we pursue and give our lives to are the things that we truly value the most, despite what we say. Fools do not seek wisdom because they do not seek place for any value to be placed upon it. Wise people will seek wisdom even at great expenses because they understand how important it is to their successful living. Friend, when we value what God values, we are on the path to obtain wisdom. Proverbs 17:16 says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" There's an ancient Indian legend of a king who loved the game of chess. He challenged visitors to the game each and every opportunity he would have. He was usually victorious. He was very good at the game. One day, a traveling sage visited the kingdom and was challenged to a game by the king. To entice him to play, the king offered to give the sage whatever reward he would ask if he could beat him at the game. When the king was defeated, the honor of his word, he asked the sage, "What price is it, sir, that you would like?" The sage kind of leaned back on his chair. He looked at the king and he said, "I ask for one grain of rice to be placed upon the first square of the chessboard. And then that it would be doubled, each and every following square thereafter." One grain of rice to be doubled as one movement to each square. The request seemed modest. The king ordered a bag of rice to be brought, feeling as though, "Wow, I got off pretty easy on this one." One grain of rice was placed on the first square, 2 on the second, 4 on the third, 8 on the fourth, and so on. But it quickly became apparent the terms of the request were absolutely impossible to meet. By the 21st square, more than 1 million grains of rice would be required. By the 31st square, the total would go over 1 billion grains of rice, with yet more than half of the chessboard. yet to be moved. You see, small things have big impact when they're added together. It's important that we seek God's wisdom for every decision we make, regardless of how small and minute it seems to be. When we add to our wisdom and understanding, it grows stronger and stronger as it multiplies. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not speak enough of it. We do not seek enough for it. And we do not surrender enough to it. Wisdom. Wisdom that holds a price above rubies and is the very source of understanding according to our inerrant God's word. We do not hold nearly the value for which we should and need to for it. Friend, the Bible speaks of wisdom 226 separate times. 176 times in the Old Testament you can read of wisdom. Yet another 50 more times in the New Testament if you've not gotten enough in the Old. There is not many other subjects in the Word of God, in the entire Word of God, that speaks more times or uses in context more often than wisdom. But the question I present to you this evening is then, why is it something so elusive in our lives and our lifestyles today? Wisdom. Neighbor, it was wisdom that Solomon asked for from God when he granted him the kingdom in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. In verse 7 and following, we know the story. In the night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, "Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast shown great mercy unto David my father and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" God said unto Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but ask wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made the king." For Solomon, now taking the throne of his father David, his greatest concern was, "Lord God Almighty, give me wisdom to lead." Which, friend, listen, pleased God. It pleased God so much that Solomon would ask for wisdom that he granted all the other things in which he did not ask for. Solomon was one of the richest kings ever known to man. Solomon was one of the kings that ruled with some of the longest longevity of peace period of time for the nation of Israel. God granted Solomon all these other things. Why? Because he asked for wisdom primarily, so that he might rule properly God's people. Oh, how much better off a nation and a people if our leaders and politicians, if all of the men who sat in the Oval Office in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue would seek wisdom rather than power. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 34 tells us that all kings of the earth came to hear of Solomon's wisdom. For more than 30 years, archaeologist Howard Carter searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought did not exist: the tomb of King Tutankhamun. Most experts believed that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued his search. Eventually, after 5 years, Without result, Carter's sponsor, Lord Carnarvon of England, declared that he would stop funding the search. In November of 1922, during his final session of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Rameses VI. He sent a cable to England, which read, "At last I have made a wonderful discovery in the valley, a magnificent tomb which seals is intact." Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut. King Tut was one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. After months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tomb were cataloged, and the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it had rested for more than 3,000 years. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was treasure to be found. Though he could not be certain that he was correct, unlike Carter, he had absolutely guaranteed result of success and great reward if we search for the wisdom of God. Notice the certainty of the promise. If we receive God's word, if we cry out for it, if we seek it as treasure hunters do for precious metals, we will surely find that which we seek. The book of wise Proverbs of this God-filled man with great wisdom, so much that all the world sought to see, wrote these words concerning his father's instructions. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply in thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her of silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." These were the words of Solomon, who was gifted with such great wisdom, following in the throneship of his father David, of whom his greatest concern was that maybe by wisdom, God would grant him leadership through the knowledge that wisdom could obtain. If we might have your heart for a few moments this evening, I'd like to preach a simple but powerful message on a simple but amazingly powerful subject: wisdom. Wisdom. The wealth and worth of wisdom. Mr. Webster defines wisdom as the following: the right use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends and of the best means to accomplish them. He goes on to write, this is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. And it is to be considered as an acquirement. It is the knowledge and use of what is best, most just, most proper, most conducive to prosperity or happiness. Wisdom. Unfortunately, we live in a world that seeks after emotion, dynamics, drama. Yet God hath provided us a resource that has no monetary value. He hath provided us a resource which we are to able to acquire great knowledge of him, great knowledge of effect, great knowledge of practice, and great operation of the faculty of mind. It's free. Yet it is immeasurable in value. It cost us nothing, but it cannot be purchased. If I may give you just a few quick thoughts concerning this most powerful, yet so elusive quality of life that very few evermore seem to even possess. Wisdom. The first thing I think that we can note is very simply, wisdom cannot be bought, but it can be sought. It cannot be bought, but it can be sought. If you'd look with me in the inerrant word of God written in portrayal of a personification of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8, we need to digest this thing for a moment. Look at the words spoken, portrayed from the lips of wisdom as it's professed from the personification of wisdom. In verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 8, the Bible reads, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Look down at verses 15 through 17. Don't miss this. "By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Do you notice in the latter part of verse 17 where the Bible tells us that those who seek her early shall find her? Yet multiple verses prior talked about the worth of wisdom being so much greater than silver and better than rubies. You see, the value of wisdom is undeterminable, Miss Judy. But it can be obtained. But it must be sought. Mr. Webster again defined wisdom as such. This is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. And it is to be considered as an acquirement. It is the knowledge and the use of what is best, most just, most proper, most conducive, most conducive to prosperity or happiness. Friend, what a different world it would be if the majority of individuals within it walked in wisdom. I need you to first understand, you can't buy this knowledge. It must be sought from its source. And you know who the source is of it, right? Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Friend, not only do we see that wisdom cannot be bought, but it can be sought. But think about this. Wisdom compassed God from the very beginning while he created such splendor. I said wisdom compassed God from the very beginning while he created such splendor. Look at verses 22 through 30. You're still there with me? "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was
I brought forth.
While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then was I by him. As one brought up with him, and was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Friend, I submit to you the personification from the very beginning of all beginnings, in which there was no beginning. Wisdom accompanied, encompassed God. Neighbor, there were few things that existed with God before he created that which exists for us. But wisdom, my friend, was one of them. God tells us that wisdom was set up before the earth was even established in verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or the earth ever was. It tells us before the mountains were formed and the hills established, wisdom was there. Before the fields or the dust of the ground, wisdom was there. Verse 26. When God prepared the heavens and the depths, friend, wisdom was there. Verses 27 through 30, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass about the face of the depth, I was there. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, I was there. When he gave to the sea his decree, the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, I was there. Then was I by him, as one brought up with him, and as I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Friend, the Spirit of the living God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and according to the word of God, wisdom, where in the beginning is what we establish as a beginning. From one who had no beginning and has no end. Now, I'm not trying to be facetious here this evening. Folks, the splendor that God Almighty created from the very moments of the beginning, wisdom was there. But why do we not worry so much ourselves about compassing it now? Why does it not hold the value, the insurmountable value, the untraceable value, the undeterminable wealth? Why do we not seek it as such? There are little things in this world that have no monetary, measurable value. But it is those things that we find that mean the very most. Love. Love has no price. There's no measurable value, but yet the value is insurmountable. Love comes from God. God is love. God portrays love. God established love. And God provides as an example for us to love. Friend, wisdom has no surmountable value. There's no measurable worth in a monetary means. But it is so substantially valuable that it cannot be determined. The source of wisdom is the very same God that gives you the source of love. When have we become a people that search so desperately for things of wealth and monetary value, and dismiss the things we cannot put a price upon. It was a stifling hot morning that August in Hiroshima, Japan. In 1945, citizens feared a pending airstrike from the Allied forces of World War II. Many people were evacuating their belongings from their homes and making preparations for their safety. Hiroshima was one of the largest cities in Japan. It just had not been yet hit by the Allied forces. But yet most people expected a raid any day. When the air raid siren sounded that morning on August 6, 1945, the city immediately thought the attack has begun. But a few minutes later, the all clear sounded. Japanese radar operators, seeing only three American planes, decided that this was not a serious attack that would carry any substantial cost. A few moments later, the first atomic bomb used in war was dropped on the city, killing tens of thousands of people instantaneously. They believed that they were safe from attack, not realizing the nature of what was actually about to happen. You see, often Christians make fatal mistake of underestimating our enemy. He's vicious. He's determined. And if we let down our guard, he will strike. What seemingly is an insurmountable attack will be the very thing that destroys us. The Bible warns us to not forsake wisdom. It's not enough to merely know and follow the principles of our living God that he lays out in his word. We must continue to live them to be kept safe. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Listen, allow me to finish this up this evening. I've given you wisdom cannot be bought, but it can be sought. I've given you wisdom compassed God from the very beginning when he created such splendor. But finally, this evening, I'd ask if you'd allow me to leave you with this. Wisdom can be a barrier for you and provide you security. Wisdom can be a barrier for you and provide you security. For this last thought, I would ask you to slip back to chapter 4 quickly. Not a shouting message. Not a jumping off the top of the pews message. It's one that I would ask that we would take time to think about. What is the source of knowledge in which we seek? God has given us a book full of the wisdom of God. And we seek the answers in psychology. We seek the answers in the literature of the world. We seek the answers in the wonderful, elusive internet. If we can't find it there, we'll just turn to Facebook. In a wealth of knowledge that cannot be determined lies right before us. And throughout the blood-stained pages is a fulfillment of all life's answers and quests in which we can obtain. But we'll set it on a nightstand or a coffee table. And we'll open a laptop or a desktop. And we'll spend hours speaking, socializing, gossiping, about all the people we know and all the things that they know have happened. In a book of such knowledge, a book of such resource, a book full of that which money cannot buy, lies unopened, literally feet away from us. Would that be the greatest utilization of our time? And we wonder why we struggle with understanding of life. Please look at the first 10 verses of chapter 4 with me. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. You know who the bountiful she is? Wisdom. Wisdom. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thine head an anointment of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Folks, wisdom can be a barrier of protection, but it must first be obtained, and then it must be applied. Friend, we are living in a dark and fierce time. Foolishness is running rampant. Foolish actions are out of control. The mentality of this world has far surpassed gutter. We are beyond reason. We have far left behind any understanding. We are wrapped up in a cesspool of public indoctrination, of foolishness and ungodliness. Yet the wealth, honeypot of wisdom seems to be one of the last things we will turn to. People are rising up against the very people who vow to protect them and keep them safe. The sexual and sensual promiscuousness of our society, the deceit and downright evil actions of many of our citizens, as we spoke this morning. Folks, many cities of young men would rather rob an old lady than to help her across the street. We've come a very long way, the wrong way. As we are a citizenry of people who continually walk further and further away from God, we also separate ourselves from the very valleys of separation from the very wisdom He provides. And I feel the foolish display of decision-making in our government has very likely catapulted us into an arena of no return. Look, I understand that this administration has, you know, began to give us somewhat of a reprieve. Be careful. For the reign of one man is but for a short time. The mentality of men lasts long, with longevity. Be careful how much we invest in a world that under the wrath of God will disintegrate away. Friend, the ways of the world has little to nothing to offer. But God's wisdom will provide us the accessibility to be able to walk through the foolishness and grasp the sensibility as we make the journey. Are you distraught of the ways of the world? For the book of wisdom told us it would come to this. Are you discouraged with the things that are about you and on your television screen for news headlines? For the very book of wisdom told us it would come to this. Does it concern you that there is a trifecta of evil rising between Russia, China, and Iran, or the Persians? Does that raise your eyebrows? Does that concern you? For there is a book of wisdom that hath spoken long about it. Friend, be careful how much you invest in a world that will not make it. Doesn't mean we give up on the people who are in it. But I certainly pray that your treasures are not invested in it, because it will not stand the test of time. For seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. Kingdom of God. Has it ever occurred that there is a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? For the kingdom of heaven will one day be obtained eternally, celestially. The kingdom of God, friend, according to our Bible, tells us is within us. A walk with the very living Savior that provides the very wisdom in which we seek. Hope this is not too deep for you tonight. Because, friend, theologically, it is simplicity of God. It is accessible. It is retrievable. It is obtainable. And it is resourceful. I don't know how I can be of more encouragement to you to resort to it for direction of it. Wisdom. Wisdom. It's how God created all this. So why would we look to another? Protect ourselves. Protect yourself. This world is wicked. It will eat you up. The days are not just growing darker, friend. They have darkened and are upon us. If we simply put our heads in the sand and somehow try to pretend it is not happening, I doubt very much whether we will even survive it happening. We lack wisdom in our homes, in our lives, in our hearts. Wisdom is not simply given. It must be sought after. Once it is achieved, it must be exercised. The Bible tells us to see that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians 5:15. The word means diligently. My plea to all of us this evening is, are you walking diligently, seeking wisdom? Upon achieving what wisdom you are able to gather, are you exercising it? For these are the qualities and keys to life. Folks, we are compassed about with a society of fools. If we are not cautious, we will get sucked up within the mess. The tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalif in Dubai, rises more than 2,700 feet from the surface. That's over half a mile tall, friend. It has 160 floors and is twice as tall as the Empire State Building in New York City. It is home to the world's fastest elevator that travels at a speed of 40 miles per hour. The Burj Khalif also hosts the world's highest outdoor observation deck. You can find it on the 124th floor. The world's highest swimming pool. You might want to take a dip on the 76th floor. But the secret to the stability of this massive building is found underground. Before construction began to rise it up, workers spent a year digging and pouring the massive foundation that supports the building. Friend, the foundation contains some 58,900 cubic yards of concrete weighing more than 110,000 tons. The building is safe because the foundation is solid. Godly and righteous living is important as a matter of obedience. But there are also many wonderful benefits that follow as a result. When we live according to God's principles of wisdom, we receive his blessings. But we also establish, listen to me, a firm foundation for our lives and for our families. We are only safe when our foundation is safe. The wealth and worth of wisdom. Let's stand this evening. Wisdom cannot be bought, friend, for it must be sought. And wisdom compassed God from the very beginning when he created all this splendor. You see, wisdom can be a barrier for you and provide for you security if you allow it. Again, not a shouting message. Wasn't intended to be. I just wanted to make you think this evening. Where is your investment? What do you spend your time seeking after? Where are your efforts for obtaining your entertainment, your knowledge, and your wealth that is not monetary? As the piano begins to play tonight, wisdom, friend, it is of great, enormous, immeasurable value. And as we find ourselves compassed about in a world of chaos, confusion, foolishness, and ill proprieties, the wealth of the very key for the essence of life that we seek lies within the pages of the book of wisdom God hath granted for us to live by, to stand upon for that foundation. As we glean and we draw the principles from it, as we apply the knowledge of it, as we look to a mighty God to be effective in it. Wisdom in the personification of human man. God determined to write it within the pages of this wealth book of wisdom. Why? Because he knew we would need it if we would simply seek it. Are you a child of the living God this evening? Can you take me to the place where it happened for you? Can you take me to the place? I don't mean physically. Can you envision, take me to the place where you possibly bowed your knee, lowered your head, closed your eyes and cried out to an almighty living God, to the only one who had the power to save. Appreciative and grateful of the shed blood of atonement that had the power to wash away the sin that stood against me and caused enmity between myself and the Father. Are you saved from damnation? Are you walking in a power that exceeds the powers to be? Are you establishing and exercising principles that excel far above principalities and powers? Where are you tonight, Christian? For Christian is not a state of being, friend. It's a way of life. Tonight I ask, maybe it's somewhat of a challenge, hopefully as an encouragement, an exhortation. Is that way of life founded and supported by the profitable and extensive wisdom God has granted for us to obtain? Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this evening, Lord. Lord, may we depart this evening, Father, possibly thinking beyond that which possibly we walked in the room thinking. Wisdom, Lord, it is a wealth of life. In Jesus' name, amen.